The following live presentation by Rabbi David Aaron is brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To learn more about Israelite, please visit our website at www.israelite.org. Additional contact information is available at the end of this presentation. Thank you for learning with Israelite and enjoy the experience.
So today I'm going to start with the philosophy of mysticism. All right? And what I'd like to do is try to build up in a developmental way, step by step, let's call it a more comprehensive, systematic understanding of Torah life. All right? So the first questions that I'd like to try and clarify today is, what is religion, what is truth, and what is faith? Because those are such serious words that if we don't have a clarity on or definition on what those words mean, I think we'd be missing some real foundations. I find that sometimes what people do is they build this castle, but they don't have foundations, so the castle crumbles because it's really not on sturdy foundations. So I would like to ask you your definition of the word religion, and I'd like you to write that down. I'd like you to write down for yourself what the word religion means to you. Again, not a long definition, something you would find in a dictionary. Now, before I get to hearing your definitions, I'd like to hear from you why you think it would be important to find a definition for religion. Why would that be important? Like, why do we even have to do that? In fact, yeah.
It's the basis of the rules and guidelines and what you live your life by.
When I think about the word religion, it's a pretty charged word. For some people, the word religion is almost a dirty word. Right? Imagine calling up a friend saying, I've decided to be religious. What would people think? You know, I talk to your secular friends, I'm now religious. What would people think about that? Would there be a positive reaction to that?
Negative.
A negative? What?
Negative.
A negative. How many people think that if they were to call up a secular friend and say, I've decided that today I've become religious, would you get a positive, re-encouraging response? Terrific, that's fabulous. Or would you get perhaps like a negative comment, or at least a questionable comment, or maybe even a cynical critique? Which one would you think are the chances you'd get more of a positive, that's fabulous? I'm talking about a secular person, not a religious person, that you would say that. What would their response be?
You're limiting your lifestyle.
That's right. What's wrong with you? Are you normal? Are you okay? Right? People have real issues with religion. So the reason why I think it's so important to clarify that is because otherwise there's something I think, a kind of subconscious relationship with a word that if it hasn't been properly clarified, then I think we get in the way of our growth. Because there's this word that for a lot of people is negative. Right? It's negative. For instance, in America, I don't know what this is like in, you know, for where you guys are from. But in America, they did a research in colleges. They found that 4 out of 5 college students say that they are seeking spirituality in their life. That's pretty amazing. Right? This is totally shocking in America today. Because once upon a time, the generation was referred to as Generation X. Now there's a whole new definition for the just generation. They call it Generation Y. Because these are people that are asking the question, I guess, why? Right? But this was CNN, a report that 4 out of 5 college students say they're seeking spirituality. 3 out of 4 said they are aggressively seeking spirituality in their life. And almost all of them said they're not interested in religion. And they're not seeking their spirituality from religion. Does that make sense to you? Well, who does it not make sense to? Why not? Well, who does it make sense to? Can you understand why they wouldn't look to religion for spirituality? Yeah, your name is?
Right. A lot of people find, like, where they connect to, and that'll be
Well, why couldn't they say, I'm looking for spirituality, I'm going to go to religions, and I'll pick and choose what I want from the religion. But they're saying they're not interested in religion at all. Right? Why not? Right? So does somebody, can someone tell me why that makes sense, that they wouldn't go to religion? Exactly. You have to understand, people do not identify religion with spirituality. In fact, they think it's the opposite. In their mind, spirituality is to be a free soul, to experience their soul. And in their mind, religion is just the opposite of that, right? So the opposite of that, religion is going to steal my soul, take away my freedom. Religion is associated with dogma, rules, restrictions, reward, punishment, right? So who would be interested in religion? That's why I think it's really important that we define what religion is, because we're studying a religion, and if there's like a lot of negative association with religion, whether we voiced it or not, there is. We need to deal with it. Otherwise, I think there's a certain, you know, block that will interfere with us embracing, if we want to embrace, you know, Judaism, because it's a religion and we got stuff going on with religion. Do you follow my point here? Right? Very, very important. A lot of people have a very negative association with religion. You know, I don't know if I mentioned this to you. You know, when you go to a circus and you see dancing bears, you might not have seen that, but in circuses they have these dancing bears. These bears come out and they turn on the music and the bears start to dance, right? Well, do you know how they taught these bears how to dance? What they do is they have these bears walk on coals, hot burning coals. And while these bears are going like this because their feet are in pain, they play music, right? So the bears create an association with the music and the pain. You get this? So now when the bears come out in front of all these people, say, let's give a big hand to the dancing bears! Oh, right? And they turn on the music, the bears start to dance. But really inside they're crying. Because they're associating the sound of the dance, the sound of the music, to the pain they were feeling with the calls. So much of our lives is association. And sometimes we're not even so aware of how things trigger negative responses. Okay? So my feeling is that a lot of people, I'm not suggesting you, I don't know, but a lot of people I've met have a negative trigger with the word or the concept of religion. And I want to understand what that is. What is a religion? Okay? What is it really all about? In addition, you're probably familiar with Karl Marx. Karl Marx had a very famous comment about religion. He said, religion is... Right. Now, the fact that you even know that already is problematic, right? It made it so far that we would know that religion is the opiate of the masses. Karl Marx, nice Jewish boy, said it's the opiate of the masses. How many of you heard that statement? Isn't that amazing that we've heard this statement? How many of us have read anything else of Karl Marx? Have you read anything else of Karl Marx? No. So it's amazing that we've all heard this statement, because it is the famous statement against religion. What is, by the way, what does he mean by that? When he says religion is the opiate of the masses, what does that mean? What is an opiate?
Drugs.
It's a drug. And why do people take drugs?
To escape reality.
And therefore religion is an opiate for the masses. The masses need a drug to escape from reality. So therefore religious people are not in touch with reality. And they are basically chickens. They're afraid to rise to the challenges of real life, and therefore they have run to religion as an asylum from dealing with the real problems of real life. You get that? So that's why it's important that we try and understand, so what is religion? Because if we don't understand it, then we're going to have friends saying, well, you're religious now? You're studying religion? What's wrong with you? Right? So for a lot of people, a person who's interested in religion is a nerd. You know what a nerd is? Right? You're a schlemazel. You're a weakling. You're a loser. You need a crutch. right? So that's the problem. In the world today, a lot of people view religious people as losers. Couldn't make it in the real world. So you turn to religion to save yourself from dealing with what you have to do, right? Now, there's a very famous teaching from Friedrich Nietzsche. You heard of Friedrich Nietzsche? Nietzsche was a German philosopher. He was possibly the favorite philosopher of Hitler. Hitler loved the teachings of Nietzsche, and you'll see soon understand why. But Nietzsche is a very famous German German philosopher. And one of the famous statements that Nietzsche said was, God is dead. Have you heard that saying, God is dead? That's Nietzsche. Right? Now, I learned this when I was in a bathroom one day, because it said that on the bathroom wall. It said, God is dead, Nietzsche. And underneath it, it said, Nietzsche is dead, God. Okay? So you can learn a lot of philosophy in the toilet. Right? But there's something else that Nietzsche said that he wasn't so famous for, but this is what he said. Nietzsche said that there are two types of people in the world. There are strong people, and there are weak people. Right? Strong people do what they want, when they want, where they want. They're strong. Weak people, they're not strong, but they're smart. What do the weak people do to protect themselves from the small people, from the strong people? Does anybody know? Exactly. The weak people invented morality. This is a religion. He said morality. Okay? Why? Because morality will make the strong people feel guilty that they're strong. Remember, a strong person does what he wants, when he wants, where he wants. Right? And the weak people, to protect themselves, invented morality, which he calls is a plot, in order to make all the strong people feel guilty that they're so strong. And do you know who the weak people are that have invented morality?
Jews.
The Jews. That's what Nietzsche said. So guilt in the world is a Jewish invention, which you can kind of understand. You know? Well, not fair to say. But guilt is a Jewish invention. Now, you have to understand, Hitler in Mein Kampf writes how we are barbarians and we are proud of it. It is only the Jews who have brought two wounds on mankind. One on his spirit, one on his body. The wound on his spirit is conscience, and the wound on his body is circumcision. These are Jewish inventions. The war is only an illusion, because there's really only one war. It's about the Germans against the Jews. That's what he wrote. Right. He sure knew what he was about. The Jews are the conscience of the world. The Jews have brought morality. The Jews have told the strong people that you can't do what you want, when you want, where you want, because there's a power greater than you. Right? And if you go ahead and be that way, you'll feel guilty. So religion has a bad rap. Right? Has a bad rap. You know, I've had students who Israelite, they tell me, when I tell my friends I'm going to go study Judaism, they say, oh no, I hope you won't lose your sense of humor, will you? I was once at a friend's home Friday night, and we're having a great time, we're cracking up laughing, we're, you know, shooting jokes back and forth, and at his Friday night table was a group of students from Hebrew University that were not from a religious background. We were all cracking up laughing, having a great time. And, you know, I cracked a joke, and everybody was laughing, and suddenly, in the middle of all this laughter, this one girl turns to us all and says, you guys aren't really Orthodox, are you? So we thought she was joking. So we started laughing, and she was very serious. She says, you're not Orthodox. I mean, you couldn't be Orthodox. I said, well, what do you mean, why not? She says, because you're too funny, you're too normal. And that was very hard for her, that an Orthodox Jew is funny and normal. And it doesn't seem to make sense. And I have to tell you, I had the same attitude when I was growing up. The first guy that kind of turned me on to my Judaism, because until then I didn't really like it so much, is when I was 17, I went to this youth group called NCSY. So I went to this class. And what shocked me about the class is the guy giving it had Levi jeans, wore Levi jeans. He had a t-shirt with Garfield. He had a knitted kippah on his head. He had tzitzit sticking out of his pants, and he was hysterically funny. And I said, this doesn't make sense. This guy is happy to be Jewish. This guy finds living an Orthodox lifestyle happy, fun, interesting, hip. That was a shock to me. I came back the next week to hear him again. Because I never associated living a religious lifestyle as something that one would actually rejoice in, someone that would really celebrate about, someone would really be happy about. I never thought that. So that's why I think it's important that we have a definition of religion, and I think you'll be very surprised when we really thrash through it, really noodle it out, we're going to find out that really everyone in the world is actually religious. When we really get down to what religion literally means. So let's understand what a religion is. Let's hear some definitions.
That's a belief in a way of life amongst people.
A belief in a way of life amongst a people. Very good. Yeah.
I said everyone has a longing for, a lot of people have a longing, they're looking for something in life. And religion is a means or a path of finding that thing that they're looking for.
Okay. Religion is a means or path to find what people are looking for. Okay, good. Yeah.
And I said it's a set of family beliefs and values which form the basis of a lifestyle which people can adopt.
Okay, very good. Yeah.
Set of moral values and beliefs guiding one and passing the law.
Good, yeah.
A way of life based around the belief that you're going into service.
Alright, does everybody believe that it's a way of life that is based on a belief in God?
No.
Buddhism doesn't believe in God, but it's a religion. Alright, well, I think if you go into a bookstore, you go under religions, and you're looking for Buddhism, it's going to be in the religions.
Yeah, but technically it's not a religion.
Okay, well, that's good that we're having this discussion, because that's exactly the point. What is a religion? How does it differ from simply a way of life? You see, if you realize the definitions you all just shared would really fit everybody. Doesn't everybody have a belief about something? They might not be part of a community, but they all believe something. Right? So my point really to people is you have to understand, everybody has a religion. It might not be one of the big ones. It might not be one that's shared with anybody else. But essentially, a religion is a set of beliefs, right, that guide your lifestyle. That's really what a religion is. A set of beliefs that guide your lifestyle. And everybody has a set of beliefs. Everybody. There's no such thing as a non-religious person when you really think about what a religion is. Okay? You could say, I'm not a Jewish religious person. I'm not a Christian religious person. I don't identify with any of the famous or any of the standard religions. But to say that I'm not religious or that I'm less religious than you, you're not less religious than me. I have a set of beliefs. You have a set of beliefs. My beliefs direct me in a certain way, and your beliefs direct you in a certain way. But we all have beliefs. Okay? That's important to understand. We all have a belief about ourselves. We all have beliefs about mankind in general. We all have beliefs about the beyond, life beyond, right? So let's do that. I would like you to come up with something you believe about yourself, something that you believe about people in general, and something you believe beyond people, right? Beyond, just beyond, will be very vague, okay? One belief about yourself, something you believe about yourself, something about what you believe about people in general, and something that you believe about the beyond. Now, don't think too hard on this. This is not a trick question. Just what you believe about yourself, something, one principle of belief, one statement of belief that you believe about yourself, about people in general, about the beyond. Okay, so want to share with me their three beliefs? Again, I'm sure you have more than three beliefs. So just want to get a feeling of how this all works. You'll soon see why. Yeah.
one is having purpose in this world.
Okay. Do you hear that? Now, understand, it's very serious what Daniel just said. He believes that he personally has purpose on earth. Right? I'm interested, how many of you actually agree with Daniel that you personally have a purpose on earth? Right? You're not sure about that. You want to think about that?
Yeah, no, I'm not sure about that.
I'm thinking along some of the lines of
trying. You're just not sure if you have a personal purpose on earth.
Yeah, as if you find my purpose as opposed to what other people's purposes are.
No, I'm not saying you know what it is, but do you think there is a purpose for you as an individual, or you don't think so, or you're not sure?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure if you personally have been brought on earth with a personal purpose?
Yes.
Okay, fine. But you see how this all works, right? You believe it? Right? Well, you have to then. Now we have to get down to, well, why do we believe that? Where is the source of our beliefs? That's the next step. But I want you to understand, you have a belief. There are a lot of people who don't believe their life has any purpose. Okay? Now I understand, if you believe that your life has purpose, then you would have to believe that you're created by a God. Can anybody tell me why? Yeah.
God himself has to give you a purpose on the earth. Otherwise, what would be the point of you having... Who would you get the purpose from? Who would give you the mission that you have to fulfill?
Very good. But I think you could say it easier. Go the opposite direction. You could say, well, if we just happened, if this was just a big bang, right, so then there couldn't be any purpose. Purpose means there's a plan, there's a direction, there's some kind of, you know, guiding force, there's a theme. You can't have that if we're just one big accident. Do you follow that? Right. So I met a fellow who said to me he doesn't believe in God. So I said, oh, okay. I said, so then I guess you believe that you are no different than a piece of dirt. He got very upset with me. He said, how can you say that? I said, well, I didn't say that. I'm just trying to, you know, deal with the implications of what you just said. He said, I didn't say that. I said, I don't believe in God. I said, but wait a second. If you don't believe in God, then you believe that you're an accident. He said, yes. I said, okay. And this chair is an accident. Yes. And this piece of dirt here is an accident. Yes. So it all happened as an accident. I said, right. I said, so then really, intrinsically, there is no difference between you and a piece of dirt. Right? There's just no, why are you, you're just a different conglomeration of atoms, and you could have ended up in this conglomeration or that conglomeration. But you don't want to accept that. Right? So I find that people, they want part of the, they want white without black, they want up without down, they want right without left, but certain things just come together. It's like there's no such thing as an up without a down. Right? And there's no such thing as a life with purpose without some kind of God. Otherwise, there couldn't be a purpose. But that's important to understand, because you'll meet people who say, yes, my life has meaning. Yes, my life has purpose. I'm trying to find my calling. And then they'll say they don't believe in God. That's a contradiction. Right? You follow that? Very important to understand the difference. I'm not saying if you don't believe that there's a purpose, that you don't believe in a God. One could say, well, I believe that we're created, but I'm not sure if each and every one of us has a purpose. I'm not saying that, so just be clear on that. Okay, let's hear another belief about yourself.
Me and everyone on this world has the potential to achieve a goal.
Okay, you believe that you have a potential to achieve a goal.
Can I build on that?
You sure can.
I don't think we can reach that potential.
You don't believe that you can reach that potential. Okay, good. Well, that's what you believe, and that's what Cook believes. You guys can argue about that over dinner. Okay, but it's an interesting point. I want you to get in touch with how different people's beliefs are. People have very different beliefs. And now we have to ask, well, why do I believe that? Why do you believe that, and why do you not believe that? And that's an interesting discussion. Anybody else? Yes, you want to...
I believe that everybody has a specific purpose, but I couldn't categorically say that I 100% believe there's a God. And I can't logically justify it, I can't argue the point, but that's just how I feel.
You feel what?
That I just don't know whether... I know that I have a purpose, I know that I believe that, but I can't categorically state that there is a God.
Well, but don't you see that If you think there's a purpose, then I know you can't state it, but you just did. By virtue of saying, I know I have a purpose, you basically just said the same thing as anybody says there's a God.
If you have a purpose, you're going to fight for that purpose.
If you have a purpose, that means that you've been designed with some kind of goal to reach. Certainly Big Bang couldn't do that for you.
Not at all. Why not? You can create your own purpose in the world. You can come into the world.
Now, by definition, a purpose...
You can say, you come into the world, you think your brain is designed as a doctor. You've created that purpose for yourself.
No, then it's very different to say, I have a skill in medicine. And therefore, I'm going to say, people, that doesn't mean that was your purpose on earth. That means that's what you can do on earth. That's what you're good at doing, but that's not a necessary purpose. A purpose means that you came in this world and there was set for you some purpose that you have come to this world to do, right? If you came to this world and it happens to be that you're very talented at art, so you could say, I could be a good artist, but you couldn't say I came to this world to serve the purpose of art, because there's no purpose to art, there's no purpose to life, there's no purpose at all. We're just a big accident. So you could say that I am very good at art, and therefore I feel a desire to do art because I'm good at art, but you can't say that's your purpose. You could just simply say that's a job I do very well. It's very different than saying a purpose. A purpose means something that's been specifically designed with a certain intention, right? But if there's no designer with no intention, so there can't be a purpose, right? But it happens to be that you're talented in one way. We see that, so there's nothing to argue about that. I'm talented another way. Like, I'm talented as a public speaker. I know that. It's just something I'm able to do. I can talk in front of a lot of people. Did I do anything to do it? No. Did I learn how to do it? No. Some people are uncomfortable being in front of a public. No, I don't know if I share with you. In America, the number one fear in America is public speaking. That's the number one fear. The number two fear is death. That means if you're giving a eulogy, you'd rather be in that box, right, than giving the eulogy. Right? Because that's it. I have no fear in public speaking. But why? That's just the way I am. Now, I believe I was created to be this way because God has given me a purpose, and then I have to fulfill my purpose. But if I didn't believe in a God, then all I could say is, I have this talent, it's innate, and therefore I want to do it, and I think I'll do a good job at it. But I can't say that was my purpose in life. There is no purpose in life. There's just life. I just exist. I have talents, and I do them.
Can you give us an example of stuff?
Yeah, an example.
Of a purpose? Yes. I believe my purpose is to be an educator and be a vehicle for bringing God's wisdom into the world. Right? I believe my friend, his purpose is to be a doctor and to be a vehicle and an instrument for God's healing in the world. But I believe that before he even came to the world, there was already a vision for what he needed to be, and he came into the world exactly the moment when God needed him for whatever purpose God needed him to fulfill. It's a very different way of thinking that I exist, we exist, how he came to be was just... It just did, just happened. There was no plan. There was no vision. There was no guiding principles. It just happened. And I could have easily been a chair, or I could have been a carpet, because it just happened, and I just happened, and there was no reason for me to be a human being any more than that became a chair. There was no reason. There was no direction. There was no vision. It's just chaos. But in the chaos, I experience within myself certain talents, and therefore I want to use those talents because they make me feel good. But after the fact that they make me feel good, am I able to say, and I live my life's purpose. There was no life's purpose. You came from dust, you go to dust, you came to this world, you know, for no reason, and you'll leave this world for no reason. You can believe that. I'm not saying you can't believe that, but you have to understand what you're believing. You know, when a person says they don't believe in God, then they have to realize what they basically said is life has no meaning, because for life to have a meaning, it had to have meant to be. And if it didn't mean to be, then it certainly couldn't be meaningful, right? So it's okay, people can believe that, but they have to just be honest with themselves of all the implications of what they just said. For instance, there was a guy named Bertrand Russell. Bertrand Russell was a very famous philosopher in England and written a number of books. So he said, I don't believe in God, but I have to admit that it's difficult for me to say that cruelty is just simply not my taste. Do you understand what he just said? Because really, if there is no God, there are no absolutes. And if there are no absolutes, then what Hitler did to people is just not my taste. But I can't say it's wrong. What right do I have to say it's wrong? I can just say it's not nice. I don't like it. But I can't say it's wrong. He admits that. He admits a contradiction in his very philosophy. On one hand, he says there's no God. On the other hand, he realizes that it's very hard for him to admit that cruelty is just not his taste. I don't like chocolate. I don't like strawberry. I don't like people raping people. I can't say it's wrong. I could just say I don't like it. I can say it doesn't functionally help our society. We've got to come up with some rules so we can live on earth with each other. But it's not wrong. It's just you got to find a way that we won't all kill each other.
Can you say it's wrong according to society?
Yes, you could say that society has decided that, but in Germany, society said it's okay to murder Jews. Hitler came up with a good point. You have all these people in insane asylums. They are absolutely contributing nothing. Nothing. And we have to pay for them to exist. Does that seem fair? No. So we kill them. Right? Well, they're no different than a fly. They're no different than a vegetable. They are not in any way giving to the society. They're only takers. They're not giving. And we don't want to give to them. So, would you feel comfortable murdering a person in an insane asylum that is absolutely not able to function whatsoever and contribute and just eating up your tax money? They felt this is wrong. Right? But I feel you just can't make that decision about life because you're not God. But Hitler thought he was God. He thinks we're all God. We can decide whatever we want. You follow the point? The point is that there have been societies that have horrible, horrible beliefs. And it's their society. Right? I don't know, in South Africa they told me that, in, I don't know, Zulu culture, whatever, they believe that the way you can heal AIDS is by having sex with a virgin. Right? So they have all these cases of baby rapes. Right? They believe that. That's their society. Well, so what right do you have to in any way critique that as long as it's not your baby? They want to do it to their babies. But you feel inside you can't say this. There's something inside you know that's just not right. You just know it's not right. So, but that's what Bertrand Russell says. I realize, you know, I understand there's a contradiction in what I'm saying. I don't believe there's a God. On the other hand, I have a hard time saying that cruelty is just not my personal taste. I'd prefer not, but, you know, I can understand those who want to. And for the sake of society, we'll have to stop that. Right? We'll have to stop that. But what if a guy wants to be cruel to himself? So, it's okay, it's his body. He can mutilate his body any way he wants. None of my business. Right? So you understand, it's a very, very serious problem. Okay? So let's get another one. Can someone share with me something you believe about humanity in general? Not about themselves. Humanity in general. Something about people. I believe that people... Yeah, sure.
I believe that the character of a person is largely dependent on their surroundings and their upbringings, much on their genetic makeup.
Okay, so you believe that people are a function of their environment. Okay? That was basically a guy named Skinner. B.F. Skinner believed that we are all just the products of our upbringing. Right? A lot of people don't agree with him. A lot of people believe that we are born with certain innate traits. Yeah. Believe me, when you'll have children, you won't believe this. Because you'll see your children have such incredible different personalities already within a few weeks, few days of their birth, you'll actually see a personality. And it has nothing to do with any societal thing. My children are, some of them are opposites of each other. And yet they're in the same home, same community. Well, you see it in your kids, you'll be shocked to see that. But anyways.
People are inherently evil.
Ah. So David believes that people are inherently evil. I think he probably includes you guys.
I was going to say the exact opposite.
Well, so let's hear. How many people think that people are inherently evil?
I think it's David.
Right? How many people think that people are inherently good? How many people think that people are inherently nothing? And it depends on society, and they might be good, they might be bad. Okay. What? Okay. What do you think Torah believes, by the way?
Christianity believes that a child is born able and subject himself to the sign of good and to bring out goodness inside
him. But what does Judaism believe?
Judaism believes that you are inherently good, but you have Yetzirah. Right? And your Yetzirah is not your essence, right? But it certainly is a challenge to you. Right? But your real self is good and godly. But this is very interesting because you see, people have different beliefs. Right? Now you have to say another thing. When you study Torah, you're actually involved in comparative religion. Because essentially, you already have a set of beliefs. And you're going to be comparing your beliefs, whether you do that, you know, intentionally, consciously or not. You're always going to be doing that. Right? You're always going to be doing that. You're going to be comparing what you believe to what Torah believes. Alright, what about the beyond? Can somebody share with me a principle of belief they had? I believe that beyond mankind there is... What do you believe about the beyond? Do you believe that there is another world that you go to after this world?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's something you believe. Yes? You believe that this is the end?
I believe there's a God that's thanks to God.
You're done. Die and done. And you never come back. Okay. Johnny, that's what you believe?
Yes.
One life, live, finish, gone, dissipate. Okay. So you get my point. We all have a set of beliefs. We're all in our own religion, whether our religion, again, is one of the famous religions, right? I don't know, could be your own concoction of a religion, right? But you have to understand you have a set of beliefs. But now I want you to understand something even more serious. Your set of beliefs are guiding and directing your behavior. So you also have something called halacha. Because what is halacha in Jewish life? Halacha are the basic lifestyles that are reflecting the basic principles of faith. That's what halacha is. Jewish law is this is the way you act because this is an expression of what you believe. I'll give an example. There's a story about a Rebbe. And they asked the Rebbe, Rebbe, how many times a year do you fast? Because it's known in the Hasidic world that people would fast, you know, regularly as a way to purify themselves. So the Rebbe said, I never fast. So they were shocked. I mean, surely, Rebbe, you do fast. Surely you fast on Yom Kippur. He said, I don't fast on Yom Kippur. What do you mean you don't fast on Yom Kippur, Rebbe? He says, you eat on Yom Kippur? He says, eat on Yom Kippur? Who can eat on Yom Kippur? I have no time to eat on Yom Kippur. I'm so involved in doing tshuva, I have no appetite on Yom Kippur. Do you get the point? Right? It's not that he's fasting on Yom Kippur. It's that Yom Kippur, he wouldn't eat because he knows what Yom Kippur is about. So therefore you have a law, thou shalt not eat in Yom Kippur. But the law is really an expression of a certain state of being you're supposed to be in Yom Kippur. Right? A person who's truly immersed in tshuva and truly understands what's happening on that day, they wouldn't be hungry. Okay? So basically the halacha is telling you to fake it until you make it. This is the way you should behave, because such behavior would be reflective of, indicative of, this state of awareness that one should have on that day. They said, Rabbi, surely you fast on Tisha B'Av. He said, I don't fast on Tisha B'Av. But Rabbi, you mean you eat on Tisha B'Av? He said, who can eat on Tisha B'Av? I'm so broken, I'm so miserable, I'm so depressed over the base of Mikdash. Who has an appetite on run? You get the point. Okay? So too, you have to understand that your beliefs are directing the patterns of your behavior.